pray. Let's all just pray and ask the Lord to bless His Word. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for its power. Thank You for its life. Thank You for the fact that, Lord, it is living and active. Not just some ink on a page, Lord, but supernatural power that affects change in us as we hear it. And I pray that that would be the case tonight. And like Valerie prayed, Lord, I pray that You would anoint George, use him powerfully. Let him be Your mouthpiece to speak the power of Your Word into our lives. And Father, may we be changed by it. May we be convicted by it. May we be growing because of it. May we be encouraged and joyful because of it. Father, we thank You that You do all of these things because You have said Your Word does not return void. Your Word always accomplishes what You send it out to do. And I thank You, Lord, that You're going to do that again tonight. We ask this in Your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. I do find it a privilege to be here, to be able to speak. And I do find it an honor as well. Tonight, I brought a message that I would want to speak, that if it was the last thing I was able to say to anybody, that I would want to be able to share. It's been on my heart since I received the Lord many years ago when I was a teenager. The words that first hit you hard are, of course, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the whosoever part, they tell you add your own name in there. And that makes things personal. When God reaches down from heaven and says, I love you, I gave myself for you, do you want to receive me into your heart? The messages I've been hearing from Frank and from Mike and from Tony, they go so long, with what the Lord has put into my heart about being a disciple, about following after Christ. When you give your life over to the Lord, you want to know what He wants you to do. What is it that He wants you to do? Does He want you to be an electrician? Does He want you to be a banker? What is it that He wants you to do? What in life does God really have in store for us? How does He want us to walk from that point when we say, Lord, we love You, I'll give You my life? Where do we go? What's the next step? Those are the things that, you have to go forward and to look at. And tonight's not going to be a night where we're going to look at, all the things we should not do. You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. There are commands that say those things. We're not going to be necessarily looking at those this evening. We're going to look at what God has called us to do, the direction He wants us to head toward, what He wants us to look at. What are some of those things He would want us to look at? He wants us to look at His Word. He wants us to look at who He is. God is somebody who wants relationship with you. That's why He came down to give His Son. That's why He has come down to love us. He gave it all for us. And it's just amazing that somebody would come down and reach my life when all I used to do was fill a pew, as a teenager, thinking that I know who God is, and guess what? I get to go to heaven. That's going to be great. I know who He is, but, I could live my own life and do what I felt like I should do on my own. But when I knew who God was and what He gave up and actually what He wanted me to do, life changed a little bit, actually a lot. Because when He came into my life, it was more than just knowing that, God is the creator of the world and knowing that He loved me. Okay, well, we need to do something with our belief. We need to put it into action. That's what the Lord wants us to do, is to put our faith into action. It's not just believing. That He is the God in heaven, because even the demons can believe that He is God in heaven, but they shudder at the thought because they know that their judgment is coming. We can be happy because we know that the Lord is going to come back and take us to a better place. So what are some of the things that the Lord wants us to do? These are some of the things that we've been looking at the past few weeks. We looked at Mark. We looked at the command that the Lord gives us in Mark 12:28-33. Because when one of the scribes came and he heard what Jesus was saying, and he says, what is the greatest commandment? Because he heard that Jesus was talking well. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus answered, the foremost commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. And then the scribe said to him, Right, teacher, you stated right that he is one, and that there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength is to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And that's true. That's what God has called us to do. To love the Lord God with our whole heart and then to love our neighbor as ourself. That's not an easy thing to do. There's lots of ways to do it. But sometimes it's not as comfortable as just sitting back and watching TV and eating a hamburger or, you know, for me, it might be an In-N-Out burger, you know. But that's satisfying our own needs, and that's not what God did when he sent his son, and that's not what he's asking us to do. He's saying he's going to meet all our needs. He says he'll give us the desires of our heart. But he says, seek him first, and all these things are going to be added to you. So we need to seek him first. I was doing something that I do a little more often than I should anymore. I was looking through Facebook, and I ran across something that really applied to what we're studying this evening. There was a story of a man. He was driving up to a drive-thru at a Chick-fil-A restaurant. And as he was at the line at the drive-thru, there was a homeless guy sitting near the back of the drive-thru, you know, with his dog, and you know, I said, you know, please help. I, you know, need some help for me and my dog. And you know, he looked at him and went through the line and got his breakfast. And for some reason, he said, you know, I'll go back and I'll give him, you know, give it. He went back to the line, got another breakfast, drove it over to him, and he had a little dog food, you know, because he usually takes his dog to work, but this morning he didn't, and came back and gave the gentleman, you know, a breakfast and some food for his dog. He said the gentleman took the food and he was thankful. But when the man gave him the food for his dog, he goes, I've been sitting here for 3 days, you know, and I've gotten ugly looks and I've been spit upon and, you know, people have thrown me 50 cents here and there. But nobody's really shown that this kind of kindness. This is awesome. And so the gentleman, he was headed to work. He said, are you willing to work for your pay? He said, yes. He said, come back and be ready to work tomorrow morning and I'll come pick you up and I'll take you to work with me. Came back the next morning, the gentleman was there, ready to work, jumped in the car and came, and he worked hard all day long. One of the best workers he's had. He moved his tools, he toted the lumber, he did all the hard labor and all the hard work, and no grumbling and no complaining. Just very grateful for what he had. So picked him up, drove him to the bank, gave, you know, got the money out of the bank and handed the gentleman, you know, the money that he had promised him and sent him on his way. He said, if you want to, he said, can I work for you tomorrow? He said, okay, I'll pick you up here again tomorrow. Meet me here at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, and through time, he found out that his wife had been killed in a car accident, that his home had been repossessed. You know, the typical kind of stories you can hear, how, you know, bad luck kind of tumbles downhill. Said that he'd been staying at the KOA campground, but they had kicked him out because he couldn't pay to stay there anymore. So he'd just been sleeping under the stars. And the money that he had, that he was making, he said, I'll be able to sleep, you know, in one of the cabins at the KOA campground again. Just very grateful that he'll have some place to sleep that wasn't outdoors. And it's just amazing what we can do just by giving a little bit of love sometimes. And not judging another person just by the way they look or where they're sitting, and just giving a handout sometimes. That's showing Christ's love to somebody. Now, if you take that extra step, you know, and when he asks, you know, why do you do these things? This is what evangelism is. It's not necessarily going door to door and saying, you know, you got to have Jesus. What it is showing Jesus in your day-to-day life. Are you willing to take that extra step and get out of your comfort zone and give something, give some time, give a meal? What can you give? Those are the things that we want to look at in some of the passages that we're going to be reading this evening. But I just thought that story was kind of apropos. I get to use one of my bigger words I went to college for, so my mom would be proud. So if you want to turn your Bibles, turn on your devices and find Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 46. It's one of my favorite verses, and it's one that at least I get to share with some of my children this evening. It's one of the verses I want to always leave my family with. I want to leave my friends with. If I have you over to dinner to my house, this is one thing I want to share, and I get the ability to do that tonight, and I just thank God for that opportunity. So just feel like you're sitting in my kitchen, I guess, and if you feel like you need to go get a drink of water, that's fine with me too. Okay, Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in glory, and all his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. I'm sorry, I can't go much further without thinking what it's going to be like to be able to see the Lord God himself sitting on that throne in majesty. Because when you think about heaven, you think about how bright it is, and you hear about how God just lights up heaven just by being there. There doesn't need to be sunlight. It's because he's so pure and so holy. And I think about that when I think about this verse. I see Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels around him. And he sits on his glorious throne. And all the nations are going to be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And the king is going to say to those on his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those that are on his left hand, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves will also ask, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. These passages have always hit me hard because it reminds me of what I should be doing. The first time I heard these messages, this passage, was when I was going to college in California. There was a group doing a missions trip. They were going down to Mexico to an orphanage to help build a room for some more of the orphans where they were adding on. And we were going to go down and help them do that. And on the way, we were going to stop by the jail and feed some of the prisoners, because the prisoners don't get to eat unless their family members or friends bring them food, because otherwise they just get one meal a day. So we in preparation for that, we all got together and we prayed, and they went over this passage. And for a lot of the people there, I think it was just more to make them feel better about themselves. But for me, those passages, because since it does come from the Word of God, just really hit me hard. Because I was looking at the passages and going, I don't want to be a goat. I'd rather be a sheep. I'd rather be going in, making my Lord happy. Because he's calling me. He's telling me what I should do. But so often we don't. So often we go our own way and just do our own thing. Well, if it was Jesus coming, of course I would have invited him in. But he's saying if you did it to the least of these. Because the Jews didn't recognize Jesus when he came. They were looking for something different. Do we sometimes look for something different? We're willing to help those who look nice. And, hey, you know, maybe if I invite them over, they'll invite me over and, you know, we can, you know, reciprocate one for another. But do we ever give just to give? The Lord's given us enough. He sure has. But sometimes we just want more instead of sharing what we have. That was the first time that really made a difference to me. It helped motivate me a little bit. Motivate me to want to be more like Jesus. Motivate me to be in a better relationship with him so that I knew what he wanted me to do. Because, of course, in times of, you know, high school and college, you're going, what do you want to do with your life? What do you, you know, how do you want to go? Where do you want to proceed from there? So those types of questions came up just by reading these passages here. It's how you are when everybody's not looking. You know, is somebody looking when you drive up to give, you know, the homeless guy on the corner a $5 bill? Are you looking to see who's watching you when you do it? Or do you just do it anyway? Or do we sit there and take a little time and judge them? Well, if I give them $5, all he's going to do that is go down the corner and buy some booze, and, you know, so I'm not going to give anything, you know. Or I think I saw that guy drive up in a BMW, you know, I think he just does this to make some extra cash. You know, those are some of the things we actually run through our minds. And the Lord says, no, give it with a pure heart and let him do the rest. He's the judge, not us. What he's called us to do is to love. Can we reach out and do that? We have a hard time. Do we reach out and do that when somebody has a disability? Or do we walk the other way? Do we tend to want to give them time, or do we want to just give them space? Those are the types of things we have to answer and wrestle with when we wrestle with our walk with the Lord. But these passages to me are talking to me about what I need to do. Not just pretend I know who Jesus is, but spend some time really knowing him. That's where the passages that we were reading last week and the week before about being a disciple and following after Christ. You know, spending time with somebody, having a relationship with your Savior. That's the part that was getting to me in these passages. And the second time that this passage really hit hard to me, we were talking about tonight as we were getting ready to pray, was when Keith Green came out with his song about the sheep and the goats. You know, he had a way to animate the song as he played along with the piano, you know, and emphasize the different parts in this story. And I think it's one of the first times I ever teared up in the middle of a song. You know, when he comes to the part about, you know, you accursed, you know, and it just hit me that, you know, sometimes I feel like that's where I am. I'm not at the part where I need to, you know, I'm not afraid of my salvation being lost, but I just don't ever want to feel like I let the Lord down. You know, and sometimes I do. And that's what hit me hard at that time was, am I doing what you want me to? Am I serving you the way you want me to serve? Those are things that cut me to the core. And that's the second time that these passages just flowed through me and hit me in my life. You know, it's a God who reached down from heaven to call me a sinner and to say, I've got eternal life for you. I have love that does not end. I want to give it to you. And like that cup that overflows, if we give it out, it keeps flowing through us. He never has an end to the love that he wants to share through us. There is no end. It's boundless. And those are some of the things that just resonate so strong through those passages. And other things just pour through my mind as I read those passages in Matthew. And to me, once again, there's the call that we read the past couple of weeks, which is in Mark 16, verse 15 through 20. What's another command that God does ask us to do? He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Well, that scares me because I sure don't like going door to door, you know, cold evangelism, whatever you want to call it. You know what? You need to be saved. You're a sinner and you're going to hell. You know, that's not where I have the most fun. I mean, I know I can come up here and be animated and I could jump up and down and I can tell you, you know, you're dangling by a thread over the pit of hell and, you know, just like John Blake did in the 1800s. You know, and, you know, is that going to really be what's necessary? For me, no. And for me, knocking on somebody's stranger's door and saying, you know, you're a sinner, you need to turn. But what's easier for me is to see a neighbor. You know, is it easy just to take a dinner over to a neighbor that you know is sick or not feeling well? Well, how about the neighbor who, you know, has yelled at you for your lawn being dirty and their lawn is clean? You know, can you give it to that neighbor as well? You know, we have trouble sometimes giving unconditionally, but our God never had that trouble because He came and picked me up out of the miry clay. You know, He didn't shrink back from that. He didn't shrink back from that love that He had to share with me. And I don't think we should shrink back from that as well. And the disciples sure didn't. So let's read the rest of the passage there. It goes in Mark 16:15 all the way through 20. 6:16 says, "He has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieved is going to be condemned already. These signs are going to accompany those who believe. Then in my name they will cast out demons and they'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it's not going to hurt them. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus had spoken to them. He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And in verse 20, I think this is the part that I really want to get to in this passage, because in 16:15 he says, "Go into the world." 16 verse 20 says, "And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." The Lord went with them. It just said He went up into heaven at the right hand of God, but He also said that He was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with them. And He was, and they did go out. And they took that command and they went forward. Do we? Are we the sheep or the goats? What are we doing with ourselves? I don't want to end it there. So I'm going to go a little bit further. So if we go back into Matthew, turn to verse 34 and verse 25, and it says, "We get to inherit a kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world." This is one of the messages we had in worship tonight. We are children of God. It's not because we did anything right. It's not because we did anything wrong. It's because He loved us. He says we get to inherit. He is brought us in. He's adopted us into His family. He hasn't just, you know, sent down some love and said, "Here's some spare change. Here's some scraps. Let me put it under the table," like one of the other parables says. You know, "We'll just put some scraps on the table and you'll be fine. I'll take care of you. And things are going to be okay." No, He said, "I call you my children, and you're going to get to inherit the kingdom. No longer servants, sinners worthy of judgment, but heirs." You know, that's what to inherit means. We become heirs. That's just amazing to me. And that means that we are actually truly friends of God. He's made us part of His family. He is our dad. We can say that, you know, Abba Father, Daddy. We can use that type of a name because He's that type of a God who loves us that way. And He's called us that even when we've walked away and done our own thing. When we've lived in sin, we've chosen not to go that way. He still reached down to us. And He still says, I'll call you my son and my daughter. I'll let you be an heir with me. you get to inherit all that's there. So I think that inheritance is, I think that's one of those parts of the passage that sometimes gets overlooked. Because that inherit part is awesome to me. That I'm not just an outsider. I'm part of the family. He's loved me that much. And when we put our faith into action, when we're no longer just, just like when we're driving down the road, you can believe that that pedal right beside the gas pedal is the brake. And you can say, that's the brake pedal. But if you go driving down the road and you use the gas pedal, and you just let it off and you don't use that brake pedal, you don't do anything with it. You just crash and bump into a wall, and that's how you stop. You know, you're not putting your faith into action, are you? I believe that that's a brake. That's fine. But if I don't do anything with it, I'm going to be crashing into everything. So we need to put our faith into action, just like you would if you were using your brake pedal. Because if you just know something, that's not going to get you as far as you need to go. You have to put the pedal to the metal. You put that brake down, and it'll stop you. We need to put that faith into action. So many times I don't. There's so many times when I've passed a person away. There's so many times when I haven't shared with my own kids because it's easier to watch my Bronco football game than to open up the Word of God. It's so much easier to, I'm just tired. It's 9:30 at night. When my kids were younger, do we pray before we go to bed? Do we read our Bible before we go to bed? Yes, we do. And then it's just easy to get out of that routine. It's easy to get out of those things. It's just like with the Lord each morning. He wants us to start our day talking to Him and being in relationship with Him. He's our God and our friend. Do you treat Him that way? Best example for me is with my wife, Janine. We talk about things. We talk about mundane things, about doing dishes and doing laundry. But we talk about them. We talk about important things. We talk about the salvation of our friends and our family. We talk about lots of different things. Can we talk about those with the Lord? Do we talk about those with the Lord each day? Do we take the time? Can you talk to God when you're playing Pokemon Go? When you got your phone out and you're walking around and running into trees and bushes and things? Of course you can. You could talk to God anywhere. You could talk to God anytime. He cares. Does He care if you get to the 10th level? No. But does He not care? He loves you. And He wants to be with you. So if you're having fun, He wants to be with you there as well. God wants you to be in relationship with Him. So that's one of the things that we were listening to last week with Frank. He's saying God wants to hear from us. And the best way to know what He wants is by being in relationship with Him. Spending time. Sometimes you have to make time. You get up that half an hour early to spend time in prayer, to open up the Word of God before you go to work. And if you do those types of things, you know what ends up happening? God answers and hears you, and He walks with you through the day. And all of a sudden, your eyes are open, and you start seeing things the way God sees them. Those opportunities that we sometimes pass away and at the end of the day look backwards and go, oh, I had a chance today, become the opportunity that you have to actually do something. And you say, Lord, use me today. He will. He'll give you that opportunity. He'll have somebody cross your path. Somebody at work will come in and say, guess what? My mother passed away. I'm going to have to take some time off. It gives you time to share with somebody. Different things come up everywhere. Look for those opportunities. Talk to the Lord and He'll be with you. But don't just talk to Him for an hour every Sunday evening. Well, okay, an hour and a half every Sunday evening, but or Saturday evening. If that's the only time you're talking to God, that's hard to be in relationship. Like with my wife, we're in communication daily. Sometimes more than I want, but we are in communication, and that's the way, that's what he wants, is that relationship. He wants us to be talking to him. And how else do we know what he wants us to do? He's written it down in his word. We have it written down. We know what he wants us to do. But do we study his word enough to be able to share that with somebody else when they're in a time of need? When they ask the hard questions, where is God? When their family members brutally killed or murdered, that's a hard question that you can get asked. Does God still love them? Does God still care? Yes, we read it in Psalms today, in Psalms 34. It says the righteous are going to have hard times, but God doesn't leave them. God will give you what you need. So in those times, when you have the Word of God inside your heart, you have a way to respond in these times of difficulty. We want to put our faith into action. But to go along with Matthew, I couldn't help but go into the book of James, because I kind of alluded to that earlier, where the demons believe that there's a God and don't do a lot with it. He talks about faith in James chapter 2, starting at verse 8. We've talked about you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 8 starts off, if however you're fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whosoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in one point has been guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says to you he has faith, but he has not works, can faith save him? I've been asked that question before. If a brother or sister is without clothing or in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and to be filled, and do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. But if someone may well say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? To me, that ties perfectly with Matthew chapter 25 when it talks about the sheep and the goats. It's talking about putting your faith into action. Because if you believe that God is good, that's fine. But if you don't do anything with that, it's not going to get you anywhere. Your faith doesn't. That's what it's just told us here. We want our faith. You want to put action to our faith. You want to put feet to your faith. And that's what this is all about. And this is the message I wanted to share for you with this evening. And I'm just so thankful that I have people in our congregation here that I can point to and say, I see their faith in action because I can see their works. We have people that we can look at. We have people behind the scenes that don't get acknowledged very often. Kathy Miller, who helps with the Helps Ministry. You've got Marco in Virginia. You've got others who in this congregation step up You know, Paula and Jim offer their home so often. You know, there's so many people in this congregation who give and don't ask in return. They don't ask to have their names notarized. They don't want to. They don't necessarily need to be seen. What they want to do is live their faith and put their beliefs and their actions, put them together. That's so much what I want from my own life. But I want us all to do that, and to do that daily, and to stop following our own selfish desires and start seeking His face more, being on our face before God and asking Him, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do tomorrow? Those are such good questions to ask, you know. I myself, I end up with, where do I want to be in the end of my life? You know, when the Lord sees me, you know, when I'm done, I can tell you what I would like it to look like. I go back to the book of Genesis. I look at Enoch. He's one of my favorites. And now Enoch doesn't get a whole lot of press. But if it was for me, I sure want to be like him. Just a couple of small passages. Genesis 5, 23 and 24. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years. And then he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. Very simple passage. But I have to stop at that word. Then Enoch walked with God. Do I spend time walking with God? I spend 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, but do I walk with God? Do I spend time in prayer? Do I know who God is enough to be able to see His heart? Just like for you, a simple thing is like the old WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? Do we think about those things daily? Do we think about those kinds of actions in our life? You know, what does God want me to do? Does He care if I wear a blue shirt or a red shirt? Well, not necessarily. But does He care if you're gonna love and care for your spouse or your children? The neighbor down the street, the coworker that gives you a hard time, the boss that's passed you over for promotions. You know, do you look at those things and say, this is an opportunity for me to pray. This is an opportunity for me to act like Christ. Or do we just act in our flesh? You know, just like if you're driving to church, because this tends to always happen. You're on the way to church. You're running late. Somebody cuts you off. And are you willing to say, that's the person I want to love today? Or do you have different words that you say and that you have to ask for forgiveness for? That's where I end up. But that's where the rubber hits the road, is how do we put that, our faith into action? Now I go back into Genesis, you look at the next passage, which is 24. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. He walked and talked with God. Then he was not, for God took him. You know, that's kind of how I want to go. You know, I think it just is the best way that I could think of to end up this world, is to walk with God and just be with Him and just not have to go through death and not have to go through any other troubles. Just walk with Him and just have one day. He just says, look at where we ended up with our walk today. You know, it was a little bit further than walking up the incline, but you know what? We made it. But in the end, I just want to be, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be that sheep. I don't want to be the goat. You know, because so many times in my life, those things have come up and been a part of it. And that's what I want to be able to share tonight is, do you want to be a sheep or do you want to be a goat? Do you want to live your faith, or do you want to just let your faith be stagnant and sit on a shelf? But then in James, you know, what is your faith if you don't do anything with it? So what I ask you to do this next week, if you can, put your faith into action. You can discomfort yourself a little bit. Spend 5-10 minutes in prayer every day and just see how the Lord talks to you. Because you'll find out, as you pour your heart out to Him, He'll talk to you as well. See how your life changes in a week, and see how many lives that the Lord changes through you. Because we don't do the changing. We're just the vessel. We need to be that willing vessel. All right, thank you for letting me speak tonight. Close off. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for being here tonight. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you just sink into everybody's heart and into my own, so that I can draw closer to you than I've ever been. Lord, so that your Holy Spirit can be used through me to touch other lives this week, so I won't be seeking my own pleasure, but that I can be seeking what you would want me to do. Lord, that I can be an evangelist, that I can be someone who shares your love. Help me to put my faith into action. Help me to have a brake pedal that works and that I use. Help me not just to keep my foot on the gas, because I can't stop if I do that. Lord, I look forward so much to your coming again. I look forward so much to being with you the rest of this evening and tomorrow. Help me to be that one that walks with you daily. So that'll help us change our lives. We'll no longer be disappointed with the things we don't get, the things that that we desire that we don't have. We'll soon be looking forward to those things that we can share and those things that we can give. And I pray this evening we give each other the love and kindness that you filled our hearts with. It's in the precious name of your Son we pray. Amen.